everyone. Welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine. Hope everyone enjoyed their Thanksgiving. We took a week off because I moved into a new house and then my kids got sick. So it was a bit of a whirlwind, but it was great. And I hope everyone enjoyed their holiday as well. Today we have a special episode. It's actually a recording that I did on my last podcast called Water Wednesdays. It's with my old co-host, Allie. And we interview a guest, Mel Michelrath. She's the mother of my associate pastor at my old church, and she also mentored me as well, and Allie as well. So she has so much wisdom to offer, and I know you're going to love hearing from Mel after a few words from our sponsors.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
That's cool. Anyway, sorry. Hi, we're recording a podcast about other things.
No, I love it. Just good friends chatting. It's been too long.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a couple questions for Mel today. We're just going to run through them kind of like we do with most of our guests. We're going to just try to hear her story of faith and how she became a Christian and just some thoughts that she has. So Mel, why don't you kick us off with answering, when did you first start identifying yourself as a Christian, or how did you come to know the Lord?
Okay, well, I grew up in a Christian home. My grandfather was a pastor. My dad was a pastor. So I've had a godly heritage in my family for many, many years. And I think I first identified under the family umbrella of being in a Christian home. That became kind of my identity. I was born like figuratively at the church. I lived figuratively at the church. And everything in our home revolved around the church. My parents were also musicians. A part of my father's responsibility was, at that time, they were called worship pastors. Well, they were called minister of music. Now they're called worship pastors. But so everything that we did was church oriented. And so I just kind of grew up in that framework. And my identity as a Christian was this being part of this family and this church family. And I don't think it was till I was a little older that I started realizing that I needed to have this relationship with Jesus on my own. And I needed to make a personal relationship, a personal identification with Christ, aside from my family identification as Christians. And I remember I was 10 years old, and I was at summer camp in New York State, because I lived on the East Coast. I was born and raised on the East Coast. And I remember there was a speaker that night, and he was talking about salvation. He was talking about the gospel, and he was asking if anybody wanted to receive Jesus as their personal savior to come down to the front. And, you know, my feet felt like cement, but I felt this tugging in my heart that I needed to go and make Jesus my own. And so I went forward, and I don't remember anything about this woman except her name was Stephanie, and she was one of the camp counselors there. She might have even been my counselor. I don't even remember. I just remember she took me in another room, and she talked with me, and she prayed with me. And that was the pivotal moment in my life when I became a Christian.
Awesome.
That's great.
I love the distinction you made between like family, you know, like under the umbrella, and then like making it personal. Like, I think that's really good and relatable. And yeah, it's very easy to say, well, my family believes, you know, but
right.
It's definitely something more when it's like, no, I made this decision.
Right. And I always thought I had an older brother. I have an older brother who's 5 years older than me. And from the moment my brother was born, he knew he was called to be a pastor. So I always had watched like my older brother grow up, and he was just this amazing just kid who just was spiritually connected from the beginning. And I always thought when I got to be his age, I would be that way. And then I realized that I'm not going to be that way unless I take this step for myself.
That is pretty cool. Do you feel like, so that moment that you had, that was, you know, you said a pivotal moment in your faith. Do you think that that was the turning point for you, or was it kind of gradual after that? Or was it immediate?
No, I think it was pretty immediate, because I knew all about it. I mean, I'd lived it. I'd grown up in it, you know, for 10 years. It was talked in my home. It was talked at church. It was, you know, among my friends, my parents' friends. So I knew it was a heart knowledge. I mean, it was a brain knowledge that had to move to my heart. So it was intellectual knowledge that had to move the 12 inches or whatever it is down to my heart to make it real for me. And so that's the shift. That was pivotal. It became less of intellectual knowledge and more heart knowledge.
Yeah, that makes sense. I always love asking that question because I think it's different for everybody. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's special. So leading into our next question, Allie and I, we did a recording with Kevin Paberski about God as our Father. We did a series about God as Holy Spirit, Jesus, and our Father. And so we were kind of thinking about it, and we were like, maybe we should do kind of like God as with like woman characteristics, because we did the Father and more of like the male characteristics. And so we're going to kind of focus a little bit on that today. And one of the first questions that we were thinking of was just being image bearers of God. And so I think that's a big pillar of Christianity and something we all kind of learn about and discover as we step into this relationship with God, as you said, Mel, is just, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us here on this earth? And I think one of the things it means is that we're to be the image bearers of God to the world. And so our next question, something we can all three of us unpack. What does it mean for us as Christians to be image bearers of God? It's kind of broad, but what are like some first thoughts that you guys have?
Go ahead, Allie.
No, I was going to say, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think being an image bearer, being a bearer, being identifying with God, his characteristics, his personality, those things that we reflect his heart in, love, kindness, grace, forgiveness. I mean, the list is, you know, it never ends. And I think that that's how others come to know what God is all about, not just through his word, but how we as believers live our lives reflecting those characteristics and those parts of God, those personality parts of God and aspects of his nature.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, when thinking about this question, I took it back to like creation and being created in his image. There's a phrase, Imago Dei, which is that we're, you know, created in the likeness of God, and we're created like different than the animals. I was just listening to a sermon by Matt Chandler from the Village Church down in Texas, and I didn't realize this before, but in Hebrew, in Genesis, God's like, let there be light, let there be. There's like this rhythm of let there be, let there be. And then there's this turning point where he's like, let us make. Like, it changes for emphasis that like he made us. Like, I thought that was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because it's like a shift in relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Yeah, and I like that when he says, let us make, he says, after our likeness. Mm-hmm. So it's so cool thinking that we could be somehow some sort of image to our perfect father who's amazing and awesome and holy. Like how could we in any sense reflect that? It's mm-hmm. really cool thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a big question. And to truth be told, it is a bit daunting to me. I don't know, as I've been thinking about it and praying about it and doing a lot of reading, it's like the more I read, the bigger it became. And it's like, I could never like wrap my arms around this concept. But I talked to quite a few people who I respect on this subject. And it was interesting to me that I think Kevin talked about, like, did he talk about some specific roles that maybe men have with this image bearing idea? I did listen to his podcast, but I don't really remember all of it. But I do think that there are specific things that maybe women, well, am I getting into the next question a little bit? Sorry. If
Take
I
it
am.
Away.
No, come on, okay. Get it. Let's go.
That maybe women maybe characterize maybe more, a little bit more than men do. And when God made Eve, he made her to fill the void of relationship to Adam that no mm-hmm. other aspect of his creation could do. Mm-hmm. And she just brought something to him that number one, he was like, hubba hubba. And number two, she like filled this void in his life, in his heart, that no other aspect of creation could do, because she was relational. She was alive. She was like him. And I think that as women, as Christian women, that is an area that God has called us to, is relationship. You know, you see it in all different ways. You see it in a marriage relationship. I feel like, okay, I'm just going to say this. This is not dissing my husband, but I feel like I am much more relational in our relationship than sometimes Jerry tends to be. Jerry tends to be more, kind of statistical and kind of, you know, he's practical, and he kind of, sometimes I wish he had that more heartfelt, you know, emotion kind of quality. And he does, but I think for women it's much different. I feel like we feel deeper. We can empathize a little deeper. I'm not qualifying this for all women and for all men, but in my experience, this is what I have seen. And I think that is something that just God has put in our makeup and in our hearts to be this way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, I completely agree with that.
Me too. I think a lot of women are probably nodding their heads at that, because I think that definitely mm-hmm. is something that is characteristic of women. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote that down as well, as being a characteristic of God that we as women specifically reflect, was just this nurturing, caring. Mm-hmm. We have an affinity towards comforting, gathering with relational tenderness and a mindset. Mm-hmm. I think that's just very, very common of women. And I mean, obviously it looks different in all of us. We're all unique and have different personalities, but I think that is something that tends to be very characteristic. And I actually found some cool verses too. I'll just spit a couple of these out. But so in Isaiah 66:13, it says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." That's God talking. So there's that comforting side. Hosea 13:8 says, "Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open."
Oh, that's encouraging.
It's the mama bear side of God, I guess. But it's like protective, like I care about you. I mm-hmm. want to protect you. And then I liked this one in Luke 13:34. It says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." Mm-hmm. So there's that gathering with relational tenderness, like I was talking about. So I do think it is something that's very unique to women, and something that we can cultivate within ourselves. All right, everyone, we're going to take a quick break. And after we hear from our sponsors, we will be back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was thinking about it too, just thinking about like Jesus in this time here on earth, the compassion he had for people. I feel like that's something that we as women, I'm sure men hold it as well, but I think the ability to walk into a room and see what someone like needs, or, you know, just like you said, and I'll be able to empathize, you know, whether it's from a place of comfort or something like that. I feel like we can be more relational and relatable, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think there's maybe a little more emotional sensitivity, and an ability to connect with emotions. Now, I think men and women have the same kinds of emotions. We have the same kinds of emotional needs. We just reflect them differently, and we exhibit them differently. We interact with them differently too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually stumbled across a meme this morning, and I almost like saved it to my phone because I thought it was so funny. But it was a text message between a guy and a girl. I don't know if they're dating or married or whatever. But she sent him a text that said, "My shawarma wrap fell apart." And his response was, "Oh no, are we in the feeling stage of this, or are we feeling solutions oriented?" And I was like, oh, he's trained so well.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Geez. Yeah, that was really empathetic.
Yeah.
Sympathetic.
Sometimes you're looking for a solution, which is oftentimes what men want to provide. But sometimes right. You just want them just to say, oh, that stinks. Or like, you know, just sit with you in the emotion.
Right. Right.
Let's get you
another one would have been what I would want to hear.
Let me fix that for
you. Solutions oriented. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of building off our last question. So we see God's character as our father, as it's mentioned so much in the Bible. But as we said before, both men and women bear the image of God. So are there any characteristics of God that you find is reflected through motherhood? Let's just do the exact opposite of fatherhood, which is motherhood. You're a mother, Mel. So kind of through your perspective, what are the characteristics of God that you see reflected through motherhood? And we can also touch on spiritual motherhood as well.
Mm-hmm. How long do we have for this particular question? Because I think out of all of them, this was my favorite.
As long as you want.
I really see that motherhood and spiritual motherhood are so much the same. They're so connected because the things that you try to teach your children or try to model for them align so well with spiritual motherhood as well. You know, you have a sacrificial love for your kids. You want to teach them and model forgiveness. You want to extend grace. And maybe this one right here would be a little bit different for the spiritual motherhood, but you discipline your children to teach them and to correct them. Mm-hmm. And in spiritual motherhood, I think that looks a little differently because number one, they're not your physical blood child. So you don't have liberties to do that quite as much with a spiritual daughter that you might with your own daughter or son. But definitely teaching boundaries, being available and being present, nurturing, encouraging and supporting, creating space for growth and maturity, and gently pushing, or sometimes not gently, sometimes pushing a little harder to try new things and develop skills. And somebody else said this, so I want to give them credit for it, but pushing them not in our direction, but in God's direction. Mm. Reaffirming their identity, both in the physical family, but also in God's family, and helping them to identify their giftings and their spiritual gifts and their passions, or something maybe more in a negative in their life that you're seeing that God calls you to address, or you feel like God's calling you to address in a very gentle manner. I think one of the difference between motherhood and spiritual motherhood is that you're always trying to teach your kid, I shouldn't say that, your child, sorry. You're always trying to teach your child to be independent. But in spiritual motherhood, and this touches over in your physical children as well, you're teaching them to be dependent on Jesus. Wow. On God. You want that shift of independence, but yet in a spiritual world, you want them to be dependent on Jesus and on their faith and on God. And that to me is just that's a challenge, and that's a huge challenge both for your physical children and for your spiritual children. And really for your spiritual children, the way that you get spiritual children is that you are modeling a life of Jesus and you are leading them to Jesus, to where they make that relationship their own. And I think from a mom's perspective, looking back, you want to help your children look forward.
I love that. I love what you said about the kind of the balance between you're trying to train your child to be independent their whole life, but in the spiritual sense, you're right, they have to be dependent. And so that's got to be maybe tricky to teach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it has to be modeled, I feel. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're not modeling that, that's a concept that is going to be harder to maybe see what that looks like. So, and I also think that for both spiritual motherhood and physical motherhood, you want to bring a biblical perspective to the arena, so that if you are modeling this Christian motherhood, spiritual motherhood, you want to always sift everything through the Word of God, because that is the true north. That is your point, and that is your center that you're moving from. Psalm 145:4 says, "One generation will declare your works to the next." And I was thinking about some examples of spiritual mentoring, and I thought of Naomi and Ruth. Now, Ruth became Naomi's daughter-in-law, and when they moved from the land that Ruth had grown up in, which was not a Christian culture, but they moved back to Israel they moved back Bethlehem. To Israel. It was what?
Bethlehem.
Yeah, Bethlehem. Okay. And Naomi was teaching Ruth the ropes. She was teaching her the culture. She was teaching her the Jewish ways. She was teaching her about, you know, what it looks like to be a daughter of the king. And I just thought that was a really cool, not only was it kind of like a mother daughter because Ruth was taken away from her family, but it was a spiritual mothering as well. And of course we know what happened with Ruth, and she married Boaz, and then the line of David came through her and all of that. But I also think that a mentor or a spiritual mom can only take someone as far as they have gone. So that's why it's important for a spiritual mama to keep learning and growing and maturing in her faith. And because she can only take that daughter as far as she herself has gone.
That's great. Yeah.
And I love that you're kind of using spiritual mother and mentor like interchangeably. Do you see those as the same, or where are they different, or what do you think?
I think they're a little different, because obviously a spiritual daughter might not be privy to all of the familiar things that a physical son or daughter would be. You know, they might not have your history of your family. They might not know things about you that your son or daughter would know that might have a bearing on why you do certain things, or why you feel certain things, or believe certain things. And I also feel like the spiritual mothering is more centered around the spiritual daughter than the daughter being centered around the spiritual mother. I feel like as a spiritual mentor, I'm coming alongside of, okay, we're just going to pick either one of you. I'm coming alongside of you to kind of nurture you and support you and encourage you on the road that I might have already walked, or mm-hmm. I'm looking back on, but I'm trying to help you see moving forward. So it's not that I can't learn from my spiritual daughters. I do. I learn a ton, but I feel like my impact on your life and my influence on your life is more how I can help step in and encourage you and kind of hold your hand for support mm-hmm. as you're moving and you're growing forward.
Yeah. Like it can be subjective to the person that like yes. needs the shepherding.
Yes. And it can be spiritual in nature or not. You know, mm-hmm. there are lots of things in our lives that don't necessarily have a spiritual undertone. Although I will say, as a believer, I feel like your spiritual maturity in your faith, that shadows everything. That covers everything. Everything comes under the umbrella and filtered through a spiritual lens. Mm-hmm. If you are a believer who's pursuing daily the kingdom of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Yeah. So we've kind of already touched on like what spiritual motherhood means to you. I think you give us so many little goodies there. But how, I guess more on a more personal level, how have you seen that work play out in your own life? Just the mentoring and spiritual motherhood.
So when I was thinking about this, when I was growing up, that whole mentoring concept was not really something that was like talked about a lot, or I just didn't hear it a lot. Maybe it was happening, but I was not aware of it. But I will say that my mom had some very good friends that always took an interest in me. And I wouldn't say they mentored me, because we didn't spend like every Tuesday at 5 o'clock together, but I watched them. I watched how they lived out their lives in a very godly way. And I watched my mom relate to these women in not just a friendship way, but a spiritual friendship way. And they would pray for me, and they would ask me how I was doing and what I was thinking about, or they would give me things to read that they thought I might be interested in. They took an interest in me, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And, I remember when I was going off to college my freshman year, one of my mom's friends said to me, "Mel, I will pray for you every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And you know what? 30, 40 years later, I still remember Beth saying that to me. Now, it wasn't anything that was, you know, like such a big deal, but to me, I was on her radar at least every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And I knew that she was praying for me. And that to me really influenced me. And that obviously meant a lot to me, because it has stuck with me all these years. So that was my kind of experience with, you know, quote unquote mentoring when I was growing up. I forget the second part of that question, Catherine.
Just how it's impacted your life. Yeah.
Oh, I tend to be a really relational person anyway, so I'm all about relationship, and maybe that had a little influence in that, but I think that I just tend to be that way. That's how God made me. But so I see the importance of having relationships with younger women, and I'm always asking God, I want to be available, and I want him to bring women into my sphere, in my circle, if that's what he chooses for me to step into. And I'm just so thankful that God has done that. He has brought me amazing women to be a part of their journey. And I don't take that lightly. And I don't take that with a grain of salt either. I take that very seriously. And I'm honored to do that. And I'm thankful that God uses me in that capacity. At least I think he does. And I have learned so much from these relationships. And I have women my own age in my life that are like iron sharpening iron. And we mentor each other in a sense of we encourage each other and we support each other along the way. You know, our children are older and they're getting married. Well, I hope mine's getting married sometime soon. But, you know, we're walking together on this journey of life, and everybody needs that, no matter how old you are, whether you're 5 years old or whether you're 35 years old or whether you're 85 years old. We all need each other because we're better together.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thanks for sharing. I know we're running out of time. We have like 5 minutes left. So just to kind of wrap us up, do you have any encouragement that you'd like to share with our listeners? I don't know, in light of this conversation or just with what's going on in society lately, like what's some encouragement that you would love to leave people with?
Oh, goodness. Well, I actually read a devotional this week that has been kind of running through my brain, and it was called The Ripple Effect. And it was based on Philippians 3:17. And it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." We are always being example to somebody. Someone is always watching us. They're watching how we interact with each other. They're watching how we handle challenging and difficult things that come into our lives. They're watching how we think through a problem and how we work to solve it. And this ripple effect, I think, is really a cool analogy of living our life, especially in a godly way, because we never know how we're going to affect someone else by our actions or our speech or our prayers or how we encourage someone else. And how the Spirit works in us, the Spirit can work in somebody else. And I just think that's a cool effect, that we're not isolated in our community, but we have an effect in our community. And we want to make sure that those ripple, those patterns, those ripple of waves, or the little, I don't know, the things when you throw a stone in the water and they just kind of go, we want to make sure we're modeling that well. We want to make mm-hmm. sure that we're living a life that's pleasing to God, and that we're emulating and reflecting God's character, and that we're loving well, and that we're extending grace, and that we're forgiving. And because this all has an effect in the circle that we live in and in our community, and we will never know the effect of mm-hmm. that in someone else's life. And I guess that's what I would want to leave with you ladies today, that it's not just about spiritual mentoring or spiritual motherhood, but it's every action of our lives touches a chord that vibrates in eternity. And that was written by Edwin Chapin, and I loved that quote.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just got chills. That was awesome. And yeah. I feel like it does tie into everything we talked about too. So yeah. Just thank you. I feel encouraged this morning just having this conversation with you.
filling up your soul. I love it. Yeah. I love that you brought Ruth and Naomi into this conversation. I hadn't even thought of that. And I just really love, like you said, their dynamic, their relationship, the way that Ruth learned. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure when they left Bethlehem to go, you know, to Moab, they weren't like, when you think about the ripple effect, like that maybe wasn't the right decision. Like they left the land they were in, mm-hmm. but like, look at what happened because of it. Even if it was the wrong decision at the time, like people are watching you. People are watching the decisions you make. And even if it's wrong, owning it and apologizing and, you know, even asking for forgiveness where we should be, you know, forgiving at the same time. I don't know. Like that's just all kind of wild. And I love that. That's all really good stuff.
Yeah, and I think we're all connected in a sense. You know, we all need each other. There's nobody that maybe they say they don't need somebody, but man, I'll tell you, it sure it makes life easier to walk through with support and encouragement.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. As always, don't forget to rate us, give us some stars, and leave a comment in our notes. It helps promote our podcast, and we love when you guys give us some feedback. Also, you can find us at sparklefaith.com or check out our sponsors at lifeaudio.com. You can find our podcast as well as several others that are similar. Have a great week.
Hey friend, I'm Brooke McLaughlin, host of the Everyday Prayers podcast, a ministry of million praying moms, and I'm here to invite you to partner with God for the hearts of your children on the daily. Our goal at Everyday Prayers is to help moms understand and pray God's word. Join us each weekday as we share insights from God's word for today's Christian mom. Tune in to the Everyday Prayers podcast in your favorite app or by visiting lifeaudio.com.